Linda, it's Lisa. A breathlessly excited 9-year-old Lisa Marie Presley urgently gasped into the phone. An immediate smile crossed my face upon hearing the voice of the little girl I had grown to love deeply over the past several years. It was not uncommon for Lisa to telephone me in a playful mood just to say hi, and that she missed me, as she was doing now from Graceland in Memphis. Her father Elvis and I had broken up 8 months before this August 16th phone call, after having lived together for almost 5 years. She had reached me in my apartment in Los Angeles, where her father had stayed with me on several occasions. "Hey, you little goobernickel," I jokingly answered. Goobernickel was a term of endearment Elvis and I had come up with for his little offspring. "I know who this is. You don't have to tell me." "Linda, my daddy's dead. My daddy's dead." "No, no," I automatically responded, instantly frozen by the dread of acknowledging the truth. "He can't be. He's not, honey." "Yes, he is. He is. They told me he's smothered in the carpet." Numbly, I threw the phone across the room. I stood there, catatonic, gazing at the receiver. "He's smothered in the carpet," repeatedly raced through my stinging mind. Those gravity-filled words sank my heart with the reality that Elvis Presley was, in all probability, dead. On too many occasions to count, during my years of loving and caring for him, I had found and attended to him in deathly, compromising circumstances like the one Lisa had just described. I stared at the phone for as long as it took me to gather my senses, enough to realize that this incredibly bright and sensitive 9-year-old child had had the presence of mind to pick up the phone to share this devastating occurrence with me. "She needs me," I thought, as I reached for the cold, hard plastic transmitter that held my connection to the biggest part of Elvis's heart, his little girl. "Oh, Lisa, are you sure, sweetheart?" I asked. "Are you sure he didn't just go to the hospital like when I was with him before? Remember, he was just sick, but he got better?" "No, he's gone. That's what they said. Nobody knows yet. I called you first. Nobody knows but us. He's dead." Hearing the pain and disbelief in her too young to lose her daddy voice, I knew I needed to say something to comfort Lisa. "Oh, Lisa Marisa," I said, using another pet name that Elvis and I had for her. "Your daddy loves you so much. Please always remember that. And sweetheart, love never dies. You'll always have that. You'll always be his little goobernickel, the one he's loved the most, what he's most proud of. It'll be okay, honey. You'll always feel his love with you." I babbled on and on, hoping something I said might resonate with comfort and reassurance. I could just picture the diminutive blonde-haired, now fatherless Lisa Marie, her tiny hand clutching the phone, standing alone on unsteady little legs. "Who's with you, baby?" I asked. Before I had more time to dwell on the lonely imagined scenario playing out in my mind, I heard a familiar, calm, and deep-voiced southern drawl take over the phone. "Linda, you need to come home right away," said my brother Sam, who had been working for Elvis as a bodyguard for the past few years. Even though Elvis and I were no longer together, he had kept Sam on as a trusted employee. "Oh my God, Sam," I said. "Is he really gone? Is Elvis really dead? Could Lisa be mistaken?" "You need to come home to Memphis as soon as you can get here," Sam answered, seemingly unable to articulate the doom-filled words that would in fact confirm my desperate query. "Sam, is he dead? Please tell me the truth," I pleaded. A pause, a sigh, then a resigned and defeated, "Elvis is gone. You need to come home." The words escaping from Sam's tight throat broke the last piece of my heart, still clinging to the hope that Elvis might somehow be alive. "Sam, stay with Lisa," I said. "Take care of her. Let me speak to her again, please." I rambled to the little girl, who was no doubt reeling, reassuring her as best as I could, and telling her I would be there soon to mug her noggin. "Come here, you. Get over here and let me mug your noggin." Elvis would growl through grinding teeth when he was overwhelmed with his need to show affection for Lisa Marie or me. He would grab the backs of our necks, look deeply into our eyes with those otherworldly eyes of his, and then press his forehead hard onto ours. He would then close his eyes tightly, grit his teeth together, and forehead to forehead, press and roll slightly to mug noggins. It was apparently something his beloved mama did with him when he was just a little shaver.